pray for them if you would. Open your Bible tonight to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, if you would. Every now and then I like to go and preach from the Sunday school stories, all right? I'll be honest with you, I love what I would call the Sunday school stories. I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible. I believe everything that's in it. I believe everything that the Bible says happened. I believe it happened. I don't care if it hasn't been found by archaeologists. That's all right. They just haven't found it, okay? Doesn't change the truth of it. And I just like every now and then to open up the Bible and a story that's familiar to everybody. You know, if you've been in church, if you grew up in church, you know the story of Daniel. And you know about him. So I'm going to preach from that just a little bit this evening because it's good for us, all right? Verse 1 of chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Now, I want you to notice that. Had God not done that, Nebuchadnezzar would have never conquered them.
Amen, exactly.
But the Bible said the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We're going to leave off reading there. And I want to say it's very, very hard for you and I today to relate to what happened to Daniel and his friends. It's almost impossible for us to mentally put ourselves in the position they were in. They were taken prisoner at a young age to a distant land, probably walked that distance because there was not any buses, trains, or anything else, all right? There, when they got to the land of Babylon, almost everything possible was done to change them from what they had been and even make them forget what they had been. And I mean, everything was done. It's simple then for us to get to verse 8 and read that verse. But I want you to know it's very difficult for Daniel to make such a decision, and even more difficult for him to stick with it. I mean, it was just amazing. I believe the secret, though, if you will, we use that word secret when it's not a secret, but I believe the secret, if you will, to Daniel and his success is found right there in verse 8. It's right there in verse 8. And Daniel purposed in his heart. He said, some things I'm not going to do. I will not do it. I won't do it. And he said, I'll not do it. And that's what he decided not to do. In turn, God honored Daniel above others who could have done the same. He honored them. I want to speak to you tonight on what God did for Daniel. What God did for Daniel. We're going to stay in the book of Daniel until right at the end of the message. We'll go to one other book, one other verse. But just for the whole, we're going to be right here. I want you to see what God did for Daniel. And I believe he did it for Daniel because of what Daniel decided right there in verse 8. I believe that's why he did it, all right? First of all, he provided for Daniel. He provided for him. It was the plan of the king to do the providing for these captives. Look at verse 5 again, all right? The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. It was the plan of the king to give these captives, these special captives, if you will, the best of what the king had to offer. There was a buffet, several locations in this area, DFW area, called the King's Table. And I want to tell you, part of what you see is because of the King's Table, all right? We used to take the kids in school over there, and they'd get in the 100 Club, and I'd take them to the King's Table to eat. And we'd go, they had this rotating, you walked up there, and the food rotated by you, and you filled your plate. All right, and when you got through and you finished it, you went back and did it again. And the food was good, all right? And the food was really good. Well, that was the king's table that was going to provide for Daniel and his friends there, all right? They were going to eat the best that the kingdom could provide. Hey, I tell you, the king, you know, he had the best they had. So he was going to have that. The best that the kingdom provided, it was there. These folks were offered the privilege to eat and to drink only the best. But there was a problem. The problem was it made no allowance for Jewish requirements under the law. There were no allowances for the dietary restrictions of the law. So here are those Jews. They came and food that wasn't prepared properly. Food that wasn't chosen right, okay? As we had said in this day, it wasn't kosher, all right? Just wasn't kosher. It wasn't that way. And Daniel said, I can't eat that, and I can't drink that. So he purposed in his heart to do something different. Now, I want you to notice what he said to do down in verse 12 of chapter 1. The Bible said, and Daniel was talking to the prince of the eunuchs, and he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now you say, what in the world is that? Pulse is a word for vegetables. Specifically, specifically it was beans and peas. All right, that's what it was. I can just see red beans and black-eyed peas, you know, all right? And I could do all right on red beans and black-eyed peas, but... and he said, we're not going to have bread and water, we're going to have vegetables and water. That is what we're going to eat. That was it. Water was the only drink. Hey, wait a minute. That wasn't from the king's table. That was food God provided. That was food God required, all right? Hey, I believe old Daniel had the faith to believe that God could provide what they were supposed to eat. And God did provide that. He provided what they need. He provided for Daniel along the way, gave them that food they needed and what they needed to eat. And if you're familiar with what happens in the chapter, after those 10 days, they were brought forth and they looked better than everybody that had feasted at the king's table. All right, they were in good shape. Why? Because first of all, I want you to see God provided for Daniel. God provided for him. But that's not all God did for Daniel. God protected Daniel. God protected Daniel. You talk about dangerous. Dangerous is not the word for the request that Daniel made. When he came there in verse 12 and said, I tell you what, just let us eat vegetables and drink water, okay? That dangerous is not the word for it. They were brought to Babylon with a lot of captives. But they were in a special category. Hey, those of you that maybe looked down on the kids when you were in school and said, they're the eggheads and everything. Well, it paid to be an egghead in that day, all right? It paid to be smart. And they put those out, and they picked out the best of them. And the ones that were gifted, you might say, I guess in our day we'd call them the gifted and talented, all right? And they were chosen out. But here they were, and Daniel's now saying, wait a minute, I don't want to eat that stuff. Just give me vegetables and water. What a request. What a dangerous situation that put him in. That could have meant that they could have taken Daniel, taken him out of that special group, put him in with the common slaves, and you'll be lucky if you get to eat. There you are. You can go there, all right? Instead of that privileged position, he could have been stuck over there. But don't you see, God protected him. God protected. The protection that God provided had already started before the request was made. You look back at verse 9. Now notice, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. That was God's doing. That was God's doing. I mean, this guy here, he's over all of them, Ashpenaz, and so God already nudged him along the way and said, there they are, take a look at that fellow. That's a good guy right there. Check him out. God already put the thought in Ashpenaz's head. You said, preacher, yeah, that's right. God did it. God brought them into favor. God brought them into favor. It wasn't Daniel's great talent. It wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's great ability. No, it was God that brought them to the attention of Ashpenaz, and he was already bringing special favor to them. Why? God protected them. God protected them. Go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 here in the book of Daniel. In chapter 6, we've got the story of how some of the other governmental workers moved against Daniel. They didn't like it because Daniel had the position he had, and so they decided, hey, we're going, fighting and feuding, intergovernmental type thing. God protected Daniel from that government intrigue. He put him above it. Daniel didn't, I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter, but Daniel didn't have to fight and feud and fuss with those other princes. He just went ahead and did his job. He didn't spend all of his time, you know, at the water cooler talking to them. He was working. He said they didn't have a water cooler. Okay, they had a bucket. And a dipper, all right? Maybe a big gourd, but they had water, all right? He didn't spend his time there. He didn't spend his time at the copying machine. Said didn't have a copying machine. They had people that copied stuff. Daniel didn't spend his time there. Nope, he just took care of his business. He went about doing things right. Amen. And he left the rest to God. God took care of him. God protected him. God protected him. Hey, he had provided for him, and now he's protecting Daniel. Protecting him along the way. Obviously, there in chapter 6, you're familiar with the story, I hope, of Daniel and how they brought a decree, and Daniel was found guilty of breaking that decree, and so they were going to throw him in the den of lions. And it's interesting to see that the king was really sorry he had made such a decree, because he was already in favor of Daniel, all right? God had protected him, and he's providing for him, and now he comes along, they pitched him over there in with the lions. There wasn't a lion in that whole bunch that had the courage to even nibble on Daniel. Not a one. Why? Because their creator had said, don't. Yeah, I've heard the song say that God gave the lion's locked jaw. I don't know. I don't know how it all came out, but I know none of them took a bite. Why? God protected him. God protected him. Say, why'd you do it? Because back yonder, Daniel purposed in his heart. Back there, Daniel purposed in his heart. Hey, by the time we get to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel's an old man. He's an old man. He ain't a kid anymore. He's an old man. If they would have thrown him into the den of lions, it'd probably broken him up. But they lowered him into there with those lions. And the lion said, hey, this guy don't even look appetizing. He said, well, they had fed them real good. No, because you read on when they took Daniel out and threw the fellows in that brought the charges against Daniel. They said, these fellows look tasty. Ate them up, all right? Hey, why? God protected him. God protected him. But I want you to stay with me. God provided for him. God protected him. But here's the thing I think so much important. God promoted Daniel. It was God's promotion. Go back to Daniel chapter 2, all right? Now, we've read the story, all right? You've heard this. You've been in church. You're familiar with it, all right? Daniel chapter 2 wants you to go down to verse 14. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed a dream, and he wanted to know the interpretation. So, let me just go back over here, all right? Let's look. And in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. Now, so they showed up. Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, I dreamed a dream. You tell me what the dream was and then tell me the interpretation. Now, I want you to know who wasn't invited. Daniel. You with me? Daniel wasn't invited. Neither were his three running buddies. They were not invited to the meeting. You say, why are you saying that? Because I want you to remember that, all right? Chapter 2, verse 14. Daniel and his guys hear about what's happened. The king got mad when they couldn't tell the dream, and he said, let's kill them all. I mean, after all, that's the only reason I keep you dudes around. I keep you here. I feed you. I give you the best to eat, the best to drink, and I ask you to do something. You can't do it. I'm wasting my money on y'all. Kill them all. Wait a minute. That involved Daniel. That involved Daniel. That decree of death went out, and it included Daniel. Daniel wasn't invited to give an interpretation, but he was included. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the Lord of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. All right, then he went. In verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. He said, all them other imposters you got are worthless. He said, they don't know anything. They can't interpret anything. They can't figure out the dream. They're worthless. All right? He made it plain. Those guys are worthless. But, in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And old Daniel laid it out for him. But I want you to notice, Daniel didn't do what most people do. Daniel didn't get in there and say, you know, those astrologers, those Chaldeans, those magicians, all those worthless rascals you've been paying, you go ahead and kill them rascals because I'm your man. That's not what Daniel did. Daniel did not say, fellas, if you'd have come to me to begin, we could have saved all this time. I could have shown you the dream. We'd be moving on already. No, he didn't do that. Daniel said, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. Daniel didn't stand before the king and try to build up his position. He didn't need to because God promoted Daniel. God promoted him, all right? He promoted Daniel by giving him the answer that was needed. Hey, he didn't give it to the other fellows. Not at all. Daniel, as I said before, wasn't even invited to give the interpretation of the dream. But he was going to die just the same. So he spoke up and said, hey, would you give me just a little bit of time? We can get this. And he went back and asked his buddies to pray. But notice, God gave Daniel the answer. Why? Daniel's a fellow back yonder purposed in his heart. Don't want you to forget that fact of what verse 8 of chapter 1 said. Daniel purposed in his heart. So God provided for Daniel, God protected Daniel, and God promoted Daniel. Go to chapter 5, all right? Go to chapter 5 in the book of Daniel. God promoted him. In chapter 5, it's not Nebuchadnezzar, it's Belshazzar. Belshazzar, the king, in verse 1, made a great feast. So it's Belshazzar on the throne. And Belshazzar got to the point there. They were throwing a wild party and they were having a good old time until all of a sudden they saw a hand writing on the wall over by the candlestick where it couldn't be missed. And God wrote out, the hand of God wrote out that message. And once again, Belshazzar said, "What does that say?" Still had the same flunkies around there. Still had the same guy said, "I don't know. I don't speak that language. I don't know what it says." But God promoted Daniel. Look in chapter 5. Look in verse 13. "Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel." Now listen very closely to what Belshazzar says. "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee." Yeah, word gets around. Hey, when God promotes you, word gets around. "Said, I've even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And once again, I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Whoa! Man, what a promise to Daniel. Boy, you talk about God promoting you. But you look at that next verse. Then Daniel answered and said, "Keep your junk." Now, that's the New English Translation. "Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet will I read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." Hey, Belshazzar offered him everything. Daniel said, "I don't need it because God's promoting me. God's promoting me." He didn't need Belshazzar's promotion. Do you understand that? He didn't need the king saying, "I'll take care of you." Daniel said, "Don't need it. God's taking care of that. He'll do the promoting." Now you look in chapter 6. Now, in case you don't remember what happened in chapter 5 that night, the city was taken. The city was taken. It was overthrown, and Darius came to the throne. Darius was not a Babylonian. He was a Mede of the Mede and Persian Empire. And he came to the throne. But wait a minute. Who's promoting Daniel? God's promoting Daniel. Here we are, new king on the throne. Everything's going good. Then in verse 3 of chapter 6, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Hey, he had just got on the throne. He hadn't been there long, but here he is now. He's on the throne. It's no longer Belshazzar. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. It's a new fella. Daniel didn't think, "New administration, we've been thrown out." Talked to a fellow yesterday and asked him how his work was going. He said, "Man, last year I lost my job." He said, "They said that no severance pay, no nothing. I just went to work one day and my card wouldn't let me in." Boy, that's tough. And you, he said, "But people bought us out and they brought in their people." Hey, here's a guy from another place. He's not a Babylonian. He's a Mede Persian. He's from over in Persia. He comes in and he takes over. And normally you'd think he'd wipe out all the rulers that are there. But Daniel. but Daniel. Why? God promoted Daniel. All right? God promoted him. God promoted Daniel with a new king. All right? A new ruler? No problem for God. No problem for God to deal with. He put Daniel at the top with a new king. Put him right there. All right? You say, well, it says there, though, because he had an excellent spirit, you know, was in him. And the king, yeah, but wait a minute. How you think the king saw that? Because God promoted Daniel. God promoted Daniel. Oh, listen, what a blessing. You say, what God, we a lot of times we read the book of Daniel and we talk about what Daniel did. And I'm thank God for Daniel. But I don't want us to lose sight of what God did for Daniel. Because back there in chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he had not defile himself. He said, I'm not going to do that. So God took care of him. Hey, he protected him. He provided for him. He promoted him. Now you get this, he preserved him. He preserved him. He said, what do you mean by that? First of all, he preserved his name. Preserved his name. Today, and this book talks about four Hebrews who stood strong in captivity. He stood strong in captivity. But only one of them is really known by his Hebrew name. Only one of them is known by his Hebrew name. You with me? If we talk about the other three, we don't. Most people couldn't tell you what their Hebrew name was. All right? Now you may be going right now looking and say, well, if he calls on me, I'm going to know. We don't know them as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, several times in the book, God tells us it was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But we still, they're known to us, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but not Daniel. Daniel was given that new name. He was given the name Belshazzar, but we know him as Daniel. If we were to give a test tonight, and I was asking you, what was the name given to Daniel when he was taken into Babylon? Everybody would have said. Yeah, we wouldn't remember that. Hey, God preserved Daniel. God preserved his name. Here we are, 2,500 or so years later. We still know Daniel's name. God preserved his name. Not only that, he preserved his memory. Sunday school kids know the name of Daniel. They know the name of Daniel. God inspired a book and preserved that book in the Bible for us that tells us about Daniel, and he gives us his name. God took Daniel, and in chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 of the book of Daniel, God allowed Daniel to look in the future. Allow him to look ahead and see the future and write it down for us, all right? God preserved the memory of Daniel. You want to take a book that'll challenge you, you get in the last half of the book of Daniel. You spend some time going over what it says as to what's coming and what was forecast for the future. And man, it'll just keep you entertained and fascinated for a long time. So what did God do for Daniel? Well, he provided for him. He provided for him. He protected him. He promoted him. And he preserved him even to this day. To this day. Now, I told you before we got through, we'd go to one other verse. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Now I just want to ask you a question. Do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
Believe that Bible, you believe this book, all right? Now I wanted that. Anybody here raise your hand and say, preacher, I don't believe it. Say, preacher, I may not, but I ain't raising my hand, all right? I don't think anybody here would raise their hand and say, don't believe it, all right? I want you to look at verse 11, Romans chapter 2. For there is no respect of persons with God. There's no respect of persons with God. Hey, if that's true, then you tell me tonight why God cannot do the same for you that he did for Daniel. You just tell me why I can't do it. Say, well, wait a minute now. Yeah, there we are. We start backpedaling. Oh, preacher, I believe the Bible. Okay, then you tell me why God can't do for you what he did for Daniel. He said, I believe with all my heart. The only thing that, now, by the way, I believe God already provides for us and protects us. So I look at what happened to Daniel and look what happens to most Christians today. And I don't see the level as it applied to Daniel. You say, why not? Because we don't do what Daniel did in chapter 1, verse 8. We don't purpose in our heart not to defile ourselves. So wait a minute, I'm not an Old Testament Jew and I don't have to worry about it. No, you're not. But you can defile yourself with sin. You can defile yourself with sin. It's not going to hurt you if you eat a pork chop, thank God. Because I like them. It's not going to hurt you if you sit down to a rack of ribs. It's been roasted just right, all right? Just fall off the bone. Yeah, that's good eating. It's okay, you can have you some fried catfish tonight. At a Jew under the Old Testament law couldn't eat any of that stuff. But it's not a matter of you keeping the law. It's a matter of you and I not defiling ourselves with sin. It's a matter of us not purposing on our heart and deciding, hey, I'm not going to do that. I will not do it. Hey, you say, well, the pressure, man, you'll never be under more pressure than Daniel was under. Never. It was life and death. But Daniel purposed in his heart he had not defiled himself. Hey, you say, what are you saying? I said, why don't you decide to dare? There's an old saying that says, dare to be a Daniel. Just dare to say, I'm on purpose in my heart. I'm not going to do that. I preach to the kids in chapel on why don't you just decide to do what's right? Why don't you decide? Why not decide to do what's right? Why have we got to take our life and mess it up? We got to dabble in sin and we see it out there. Hey, and the preacher preaches against it. You read against it in the Bible. Well, it's not going to hurt if I just try it. We've got that attitude. We have that same attitude when we see that sign, wet paint, don't touch. We just have to touch it. Why don't you decide in your heart and your life, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to stoop to that. I'll not give in to it, all right? Hey, we preach it to kids. We preach it to teenagers. I'll be honest with you. I believe it's good for everybody. I believe it's good for everybody. I believe God can provide for you if you decide to live for him. I believe it. I believe he can protect you if you decide I'll live for him. I will live for him. I will not stoop to what my fellow workers do. I will not do it. I will not be sucked into the neighborhood drinking parties. Not going to go there. I'm not going to involve myself in that. I'll not defile myself. Hey, I'm just not going to do it. Hey, I'm not going to open the pornography. I'm not going to look at it. I will not defile myself. Not going to do it. Just not going to do that. Hey, God, I believe it all. He can provide for you. He can protect you. He can promote you. He can promote you. You do not have to go through life tooting your own horn. You do not have to go through life saying, pick me, I'm the best. You don't have to go through life stepping on your coworkers to gain further acceptance. You do what you should do, and you do what's right, and you live what's right. You decide not to defile yourself. Leave it up to God to promote you. Leave it to him. Put it in his hands. Oh, man. You look at what God did for Daniel. I don't know about you, but I still read the book of Daniel. I love it. I'm excited by what I see there. I don't just look at it and say it was a great story. No, I look and say, you know, if God do it for Daniel, he can do it for me. He can do it for me. If he can do it for him, he can do it for you. But if you're purposed in your heart, not going to defile myself. Not going to defile myself. Well, preacher, I don't want to be a fanatic. Why not? Why not? We look at sports fanatics and think, oh, isn't that good? Look, boy, that's a real fan. No, that's a nut. It's a nut that stands at Green Bay's Lambeau Field in December, and the thermometer, you can't even see the mercury in it, all right? It's below zero, all right? And there those morons are out there. There'll be a line of them. They no shirt on. And each one has a letter on their chest, a P, an A, a C, a K, an E, an R, an F, an L, well, and everybody's going, yeah, they're crazy. And you say, won't be a fanatic. Don't want to be a fanatic. I do. If it's for my Lord, my God, I want to be a fanatic. If the world calls me a fanatic, have at it. I want to take that position that Daniel took and say, I'm not going to defile myself. Amen. I'm not going to do those things to get along. I'm not going to try to fit in. I'm not going to compromise my convictions from the Word of God just to get a promotion. I'm going to let God take care of it. Going to let Him take care of it. Hey, you ever think about what God did for Daniel? If Romans 2:11 is true, He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Heavenly Father, would You help us just a little bit tonight? Sometimes it's easy to talk about trusting God. It's easy to talk about having faith. But Lord, when we get down to the nitty-gritty of it, we begin to back away. Lord, would You just challenge us tonight, please? Challenge each one of us. Lord, from the youngest child to the oldest adult that's here, would You challenge us to purpose in our heart that we'll not defile ourselves, but instead, Lord, we're going to just leave it up to You. We're going to try our dead level best, live a godly life, sold out for You. And Lord, we're going to trust You to provide for us and to protect